Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Monday. Jeffrey, it's Combine Week. It's NFL Combine Week. Now, some of you aren't degenerates out there like I am, and Jeffrey also. Jeffrey, what is, for you, the best part of NFL Combine Week? Is it we hear from all the GMs, and so there's a lot of NFL talk, or is it quarterbacks throwing? Is it receivers running the 40? What is the best part of NFL Combine Week to you?
I think I'm offended that you don't know
hand
this.
Measurements.
Come on,
hand measurements.
It's truly like the only thing that happens at the combine that I care about.
Yeah, I can see that.
Quarterback hand sizes.
Heaven evidently in this country, if small hands won't stop you from rising to very top.
No.
It is combine week. It's also a week when it's going to be fake spring, I guess. We had fake fall or something at some point in the fall, and now it's going to be, like, tomorrow it's going to be 70 degrees. Last week it was, I think, minus 20 was the exact number, as I remember it being.
I think it was a little colder than that.
A little colder than that. Feels like minus 40. Depends on what you're looking at. And it was cold last week. It's going to be hot tomorrow. Here we are in Memphis, Tennessee. This is perfect. I told you to get the toll call, man.
Yeah,
spring has sprung, you know?
All Southern grandmothers will tell you, don't fall for it.
Don't fall for it.
There will always be another cold snap before Easter.
It's funny. Is that true, though? Like, which is more of a feint? Which is more of a F-E-I-N-T, F-A-I-N-T? Which is more of a, the first time it cools, the fake fall, when it cools down, you're like, oh, maybe we're done with this 100-degree soaking heat, which you know you're not, and because it's going to be right back there, probably in late September even. Or this, we're going to have a beautiful day tomorrow, and there's going to be another cold snap coming.
I feel like the spring is the, you can always set your clocks to it. You think, okay, we're through it. And it feels like there's always another.
I think it's the other way around. But anyway, enjoy the day as we get, enjoy the week as we get a little warming. So that should be nice. And I'm not going to, Jeffrey, send out an email asking you to justify what you did last week. Just okay. Five quick bullet points would be good. But hypothetically, if I did, what would be in your email?
Let's see. What did
How would you justify your... And I think this is important for all of you out there in radio land to think about. How would you justify your professional existence if you had to today?
Well, I notified our outstanding engineer, Alan Smith, who does a phenomenal job.
We had one really rocky day yesterday.
We had last week. We thought initially we just had a headphone issue from me hearing you. Well, it turns out Alan going through and trying to find the source of the problem, we could have had a station-wide
So you called
meltdown.
The alarm. You
Correct.
Called the alarm. I don't think you need any more bullet points
Correct.
Other than that.
I'd say that covers
one
through five.
You did a morning radio show. Yep. You did an after radio show. Anyway, I hope the rest of you have justified your existence to yourselves at the very least. Did you have a good weekend?
We did. My brother's birthday was technically last Monday, but him and his girlfriend were on a trip. So last night we went over to my parents' house, had a nice birthday dinner for him. That was fun.
You remember I earlier this year said we were going to hit up local restaurants.
Yep.
So this weekend I actually hit two.
Ooh.
Hit two local restaurants.
You're trying to juice the rankings?
Well, for 3 weeks I hadn't done anything.
You've been out of town.
So I went to Porch and Parlor for the first time. Have you been to Porch and Parlor?
I've not.
It was the Chilean sea bass.
Mm-hmm.
Fabulous. The vibe is fun. It's actually one of the things I noticed. Just walking around Overton Square Saturday night, it was packed. It was popping.
Yep.
It was nice to see. Like Babalu, you walk by Babalu and mm-hmm. it's lots of people in there.
And I usually do just keep walking right past it.
And then, why are you anti? Are you anti Babalu?
Not my fave.
Oh, I like Babalu.
Mm-hmm.
They have good tacos. And went into Porch and Parlor. Now, it's the kind of place where you have to buy the steak for X dollars and then the side for X dollars,
yep.
right? It's like, it's that kind of place. But fundamentally, I found it to be really pretty good. Pretty damn good.
I don't know your experience. My family used to be giant steakhouse people.
Uh-huh.
Like our fine dining.
To resent it when I had to pay for the broccoli, you know,
yeah,
$14,
if you will,
for the broccoli
yeah, yeah.
on the side.
But I've noticed, we don't go to steakhouses very much anymore, and it's not because we're shorting out on steak. It's just I think we've now collectively you can get good steaks now at like Costco or Sam's. Yeah.
Well, we split the Chilean sea bass. We're at the age now where we split entrees. So
that was my wife's joke because last night my mom made steaks for everybody. And so she was like, when's the last time you just ate a steak to yourself? Because now, normally, what we do is we just buy a steak and split it up.
So, and then I went, there's a new Vietnamese place in Crosstown, Bao
yes,
something.
Yes, Aaliyah's been saying she's very interested
so we
to
went
hear your
there,
review.
And beautiful restaurant. It's, you know, normally you think of a Vietnamese place as a place that's kind of, you know, they're oftentimes pretty spare. They're not
sure.
like, you know, they like the food that they're talking. This is absolutely beautifully done. Beautifully done. Again, packed and really good. Was it sensational? I don't know that it was sensational, but it was really good. They had some sort of Vietnamese crepes that I enjoyed quite a lot. The vibe was great. So there you go. Knocked off two on our list. Today on the radio show, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Otherwise, it is us. We'll talk to Chris Harrington about the Grizzlies. We also have Tigers to talk about. We do have NFL Combine stuff to talk about. And because of that, we have NFL rumors to talk about, reports, updates, all of that. But we will begin with the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, I was thinking about this. Last week, I offered you 1-2 on the road trip,
yep.
and you turned it down. And I think in the end, you were wise to turn that down because they did 1-2 by themselves.
Yep.
Right? They were able to manage 1-2 by themselves. The other thing is we opened up the calls on how you're feeling about the Grizz in the wake. This was in the wake of their most recent loss. And it was split. It was split. Sky is falling to chill out. Sky is falling to chill out. This was after the Pacers loss. So I don't think we're going to do this because we just did this. But if we opened up the phones again, or just in terms of your own personal phone line to me, did the weekend change the way you felt about it? They obviously split the weekend, getting the win over Orlando, and then losing in very feisty fashion, let's just say, to the Cavs. Did it change in any way your general feeling about the Grizzlies?
No, I think if we open it up again today,
I
think however you felt on Friday, you felt today. It's one of those things where I don't know how you felt, but I felt like given the way that they played in the two games, 1-1 was the most likely outcome. It's just I thought they played better last night than they did Friday night.
Well, it's funny. You look back Friday, it felt like disaster was looming. Like it was, oh, my God, they're going to go 0-3. Oh, my God, they're going to tumble to fifth or sixth place in the West. The wheels are coming off. This is really a struggle, right? We saw... they were down 19 at one point to the Magic, and you're like, holy smokes, it's happening, the collapse. Any of you who said that the sky is not falling, look now, because those are clouds and sunshine and everything cascading out of the heavens. And somehow, incredibly, they came back to win. And I do think it's how it's amazing how it works. Had they lost that game, we would be in full-scale meltdown today, right?
I think that's probably fair.
And yet they easily could have lost that game. There was nothing about that game that suggested it wasn't at the end a coin flip. Hell. You got you got Santi missing two free throws, and then they have a chance to win. And yeah, if that had happened, the game is no different. They didn't play any better or worse at that point. They got the Jaren block, and that was that. But it's amazing how it works. I mean, you point about that we always overreact to things. Had they lost that game, and to be clear, they played badly enough to lose that game, we would be in meltdown. We would say, oh my God, it's happening. This is a disaster. Happily, for our mentals, they prevailed 105 to 104. And I'd say if I was to tell you today, if I was to find reasons I feel better about the Grizzlies now than I did at the end of last week, it would be that Ja starting to find a rhythm, maybe. Like, he was obviously, I mean, listen, it was a hell of a struggle for him Friday. He had 23 points on 24 shots. He was 1 of 7 from three, so he wasn't exactly efficient, but he did at the end will them to victory.
Yes.
Like, he did in the end will them to victory. And then he played very well last night. And so I think if you're looking for reasons to feel better, I'll just start with Ja. This is now 3 of his last 4 games, as Drew Hill points out in today's story in the Daily Memphian. 3 of his last 4 games, he scored 20 or 4 more points. We're looking for Ja's return. Is this a reason we can feel better?
I think so, because I also thought it was important Friday night. You know, there was the weird, he gets subbed out in the third quarter, and then the Grizzlies go on their run. And it felt like it was a little slower to bring him back. And I'm sitting there at first wondering, like, did he get benched? Like, I was wondering that. And then when he came in the fourth quarter, we saw fourth quarter Ja again.
We saw fourth quarter Ja. Yeah, remember when there used to be this whole call Ja thing, you know?
Call 12.
Call 12 thing. And that was Ja, obviously, with the how the hell did he score that bucket down the stretch. 23 points again Friday night. He was 1 of 7 from three. It was a struggle. In that game, Gigi was absolutely critical. And listen, I think we understand that the Gigi Jackson experience since he has returned has definitely been the old roller coaster, particularly on defense.
Yes.
Where the numbers have been disastrous on and off court numbers for Gigi, literally last in the league, as Chris Harrington pointed out last week. But he came in. They were dead until he hit those three straight threes.
100% agree. Because at one point, you're looking up and you're like, okay, well, they're just going to get run out of town, I guess. And then you're starting to do the move of, well, their plane didn't get in until 3 a.m.
Right,
and
there was the plane,
you're
3 a.m.
You're just immediately going to the excuses and you're looking at it. And then Gigi just hits those three straight corner threes. I think they hit 4 straight threes in general.
Yes.
And then you look up and you're like, how are they in this game? And then Pete dropped it. Well, the Grizzlies are on a 23-2 run. You're like, oh, well, that's it. And he is a massive part of that.
Yeah. Now, Orlando is terrific defensively and miserable offensively, and we saw all of that play out. The Grizzlies couldn't hit a three to save their lives. Ja was 1 of 7, as I pointed out. Dez was 2 of 6. Wells was 0 of 4. Jaren was 0 of 6. They got Brandon Clark was really good, 13 and 11, very good defensively, as well. And they come back and they get a win that I think just made us all feel better about ourselves, you know. And like it felt absolutely critical because at the time, let's be honest, I was chalking up a loss to Cleveland.
Yeah,
you know, and you're thinking, oh my God, here we go.
Yeah, I mean, you're thinking disaster road trip in the third quarter until they went on the run.
So they get the win, huge win, and then they go to Cleveland, and your thoughts?
Listen, the final score is kind of is what it is. I mean, I think last night the Cavs were 6-point favorites. They basically end up winning by six. I just felt like eye test wise, they played pretty well, and they forced Cleveland to, like, Cleveland was not good shooting the ball from three, but I felt like that was a result of what the Grizzlies were doing. I thought they guarded on the perimeter really tough, really physically. But the flip side of it was the Grizzlies, like, they needed a few more shots to go down, and they couldn't do it. And you just saw, like, okay, I felt like Cleveland just had a little bit more. And then Cleveland's additions, I think, are big. Like, DeAndre Hunter, I thought, was really good. Ty Jerome was really good. Like, hey, that team's 47-10 for a reason.
Well, here's the thing. And I'll get to the granular part of this game in a moment. Obviously, rebounding was really, in the end, the difference. And, the Grizzlies are not as good as the Cavs, I don't believe. And they're not as good as Oklahoma City. Yep. Oklahoma City, by the way, thrilling game last night. They beat the T-Wolves last. I mean, you know, they're not as good. Is that a crime? You know what I mean? Like, if in the end, it's interesting because, you know, who else had a bad weekend was the Knicks. The Knicks had this weekend,
yep,
where they were eviscerated by the Cavs, and then they lose to the Celtics in a game in which they were down big too.
Yep.
Right? So here you have the Knicks. And now the Knicks is a slightly different situation because they took these big swings.
Yep.
Right? They took these big swings, and it appears like you're a very good team. The Knicks, very good team. They're not as good, at least they have not proven to be, very clearly over the course of this. I don't think they've beaten either of those teams. I think they're 0-7 or something against those two teams in the East, the two best teams in the East. They're not as good. Like, what do you do with that? So, on Unsportsmanlike, they were talking about time to fire Thibodeau, right? Because you're not as good. You're not. Doesn't appear that they're as good. Grizzlies, very good team. And again, if you turn out to be disappointing relative to the Clippers and the Lakers and the T-Wolves and whatever, that's another thing. But if you're not as good as the Thunder or the Cavs this year, is that something we should be enraged about? Or is that just reality? It's the same thing. Hell, it's a little bit of a different version of, in the NFL, if the Bills, now I don't think the Grizzlies are the equivalent of the Bills necessarily. I think the Bills are ranked higher in the NFL than the Grizzlies do in the NBA.
Yep.
But still, it's somewhere, but Grizzlies are somewhere between the Steelers and the Bills, right?
Like, yep.
And is that like, what are you supposed to do with that? That is a truth. It appears. And they appear to have some real flaws in terms of being the elite of the elite. One of the flaws is Zach Edey is not what people with the most optimistic hoped he would be.
As a rookie, for sure.
He's just not.
No.
He's not. And so you're getting pounded on the boards yesterday, 57-37. 57-37. You give up 22 offensive rebounds, 31 second chance points.
Yep.
To a team that, by the way, is, again, as Drew Hill points out in his story today in the Daily Memphian, 22nd in the league in offensive rebounding. They averaged 16.6 a game. They had 20 in the first quarter. Like, so that is a flaw, and we saw it against Oklahoma City. Same thing. That is a flaw of this team. It just is. And so you got two rookie starters. You got Zach Edey, who is not able to be, whatever, he's a perfectly credible rookie. He's a perfectly credible rookie. But if you had the most optimistic version of what he would be, you're not getting that. I mean, hell, he played 12 minutes, 2 points against Orlando, you know? So there's that. There's that issue. Turnovers tend to be an issue. And then, really, so you had this, you saw the rebounding is really what bit him in the ass against Cleveland. And then the other problem was Dez. You need all three of your stars to be really good. And Jaron had 22. Now, he had foul trouble. We'll talk about Jaron in a moment. Ja was 21 and 10. I thought Ja was really good. And Dez was 2 of 13, 0 of 7 from 3 with 7 points. Like, that's in a game against that quality opposition, that's not going to cut it.
No, I think that's more than fair. And then, you know, down the stretch when the Grizzlies were trying to fight their way back into the game, like they had some turnovers. But I don't know.
If you want to get any, there was that horrendous call on the out of bounds that appeared should have been Grizzlies' ball that led to a three. Like, you can whatever. But the truth of the matter is,
both teams seem to be pretty upset with the officiating.
Well, and then they became upset with each other as well. We had some fisticuffs as well, which was fun. With Dez and Donovan Mitchell getting into it and dragging a whole bunch of other people into it, including the aforementioned Zach Edey. I, by the way, am not like down on the future of Zach Edey necessarily. I just think if we're talking again about the elite teams, right? It's Jared Allen or Zach, you know what I mean? Like that, you know, give me Jared Allen. You know what I mean? Like a different part, he's in a different place in his career right now.
Yes.
So there you go. Right now, it appears they're not as good as the Cavs. I don't think that's a crime. You know, like, I don't think it's a crime to not be as good as Oklahoma City. Like, you want to be as good as those teams, but what are you supposed to say when you suffer a scrappy 6-point loss on the road to the Cavs? Am I supposed to sky fallen over that?
No.
I will. No, thank you very much.
No, I think everything you just said is entirely fair. I guess the question would be, of the teams that we're discussing, their swings have appeared to yield in more fruit than the Grizzlies' swings. Now, if you want to compare them to the Knicks, that's interesting.
There is no question that the one of the real problems here is that, I mean, the reason the Grizzlies have two rookies in their starting lineup is because, well, let's be honest, the Marcus Smart swing was
a complete whiff. Yep.
And if you could have added what Marcus Smart should have been or what you imagined him to be into this team, into last night's game, it may have absolutely made the difference. If you could have added that level player into last night's game, but he was not that level player. They swung and they missed. And that to me is less an achievement problem with an effort, coaching, whatever, what we saw last night, than it is a roster. And it is a roster issue.
Yeah, and like I'm not saying like, oh, it's swing and miss, but in the end, the Steven Adams replacement worked until
it would have been
hurt.
Nice to have a healthy Steven Adams last night if he were still a Grizz and were healthy and everything else would have been a great thing to have last night.
But that's not the case.
I think you're right. Like, that's partly it. Like, they have not.
Like, why are the Grizzlies starting a rookie at center and a rookie on the wing?
They have not augmented this team with. Their drafting record is pure wizardry.
Yep.
It's unbelievably great. Their acquisition record is not, and I think that's simply true. There's no. Now, again, I started this conversation by saying if you were to weigh in on Sky is Falling versus Chill, do you feel better or worse after this weekend when they nearly lost to Orlando and then did lose to Cleveland? I will tell you, I feel vaguely better.
Why?
Vaguely better. One, Ja.
Okay.
I've seen positive signs from Ja. Fourth quarter Ja Friday, and then he was good again, scrappy, engaged last night. So one is Ja. The other is, when Vince was on the floor last night, he only played 20 minutes. He's very clearly on a minutes restriction. Grizzlies won those minutes by 7 points. And when Jaron was on the floor last night, he only played 25 minutes because of the foul trouble. Grizzlies won those minutes by 7 points. So I still think, and I'll join Chris Harrington in this, that Vince is his continued reintegration, and as his minutes can go up, he will help immensely in this. And then, you know, who knows? Now, Jaron had the foul trouble, and he created it for himself, and By the way, Evan Mobley got the edge. I mean, Evan Mobley got the win last night. 25-13, 8 assists, 3 blocks compared to Jaren. But there you go. I'll take the effort. I'll take the effort. I'll take the feistiness. I'll take Ja maybe finding a little bit of a groove here. And I will take the fact that when Vince was on the floor and was Jaren was on the floor, they were better than the Cavs.
Yeah, I think even if you just take the two biggest takeaways, Ja playing better and Vince looking like what you expected him to be, if you can get those two things down the stretch, yes, I have more faith in them.
So we now come upon a pretty critical stretch for the Grizzlies. Obviously, everything after the All-Star break, 28 games after the All-Star break, it was all going to be a stretch because here we are. Grizzlies are now tied for second. Obviously, Oklahoma City is way out in front, but then they're tied for second with Denver. Denver got its ass kicked by the Lakers, by the way. Speaking of, the Grizzlies are two up on the Lakers and two up on Houston. Houston, which lost to Utah. Bad losses happen, Jeffrey.
Yep.
So you've got that is the race. And don't look now, Luka was Luka, and the Lakers did a magnificent job on Jokic, absolutely magnificent job defensively. Yes, that's the word I'm using. Lakers defense was magnificent on Jokic in that game. So the Lakers, who beat Denver, now just two back. Grizzlies, 9 of their next 11 are in the friendly confines at FedEx Forum, starting with the Suns tomorrow. You got the Knicks in this homestand. You got Oklahoma City in this homestand. Two teams that have punked you recently, right? But 9 of the next 11, and the next 5 are at home. The Grizzlies are 21-6 at home. How you feeling about the race right now?
Obviously, the Lakers surging.
It's a little scary.
You're trying to do the math, but I still think... Two games is nothing, but I still think like that team offensively is going to be scary. And when you see them on nights where they're incredible offensively, it is going to be frightening. I still don't know if I believe in... Like, yes, they stopped Denver defensively.
They held them to 100 points.
But I don't... At the same time, they were held to 97 points by Charlotte.
Vanderbilt's back. He has made a difference. He has made a difference on that team. Well, you tell me. So that's right now. Right now, Grin, the Grizzlies are tied for second. But they're two games up on fifth. Okay, so
yeah.
they could easily be fifth, right? If you figure in the Lakers and Houston, they could easily be fifth. I won't, of course, because this is purely a fictional game that we play just to isolate what you're thinking. I'll give you $100 if you can tell me where the Grizzlies are going to finish in the West.
I'm going to stick with what I said last week.
Third.
I still think they finished third. It feels like that game, it feels like a significant game
pick third.
Down the stretch is going to be the Grizzlies have to go to Denver, and that's the second to last game of the year. And because they split the home game, you could tell me they wind up tied and Denver wins the home game 2-1 and they get the tiebreaker.
LeBron, by the way, on Instagram, took a photo of the, screenshotted the Lakers' schedule. And they play a back-to-back at Milwaukee and then at Denver. And he wrote on it, "This is insane." And the insane was in caps. They were talking about this on Unsportsmanlike on the way in. Is that whining from LeBron? And as they pointed out, Michael Jordan would have never done that. Like, stop complaining about the schedule, man. Just play. He does play, by the way. He does play. Is it unseemly for the great LeBron James to be whining about the schedule?
Yeah, I mean, like, the schedule's been out for how long? Since September?
That's true. This is not a new development.
Right. They didn't change it.
Anyway, I feel vaguely better. I don't know how everybody else feels. I feel vaguely better, which is weird given how close to being.
Yeah.
Well, they'd already, I'm talking about after, compared to Friday when they had already lost the Indiana game. So they had it 1-1 weekend, which is what I would have thought from the weekend, but they were a hair from being 0-2 over the weekend because of things that happened within those games. I feel vaguely better.
You almost kind of feel like they stole a win, too.
Oh, they 100% stole a win. Like, they 100% stole a win.
And those things kind of add up.
And by the way, the Cavs, without Darius Garland last night, so, you know, they were not at full strength. The Grizzlies were. And the Cavs could not hit a three to save their lives. Except Donovan Mitchell, they started the game 0-19 from three. They were cumulatively 2-20 from three. That's why it was so damn frustrating. It is really frustrating. To me, as a sports fan, watching your NFL team not be able to stop the run is incredibly
because there's
frustrating.
Nothing you can do.
There's just...
It's hopeless.
Oh, come on, man. That is unbelievably frustrating.
Yeah.
And to me, as an NBA observer, watching your team give up offensive rebound after offensive rebound after offensive rebound, you just want to scream. You've made the stop, you've gotten the stop, and you can't grab the freaking ball?
Well, because I think, honestly, they're related in the sense that it feels like, oh, you're physically overmatched.
And there's a commonality.
Why can't you stop the run?
You feel like the 7-year-old brother playing with the 12-year-old brother.
Right. You're just not bigger, stronger, faster.
All right. We're going to take a break. Come back. Tigers got a win yesterday. Big win for the Tigers. We got a lot more to talk about. We'll revisit the Grizzlies with Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. I will tell you, perfect time to get to Oak Hall Spring. It's a perfect week, by the way. It's going to be 70 tomorrow. You walk into Oak Hall, that's what it feels like. Spring has sprung. When I was out Saturday night, it was a friend's birthday. And I walked in, and she walks right up, and she goes, "Hey, you got Steo." Now, that never happened to me before. Steo is, of course, this incredibly lovely brand that makes my down jacket thing I have. And she's like, "I wouldn't even have known that Steo meant I was shopping well before I hooked up with folks at Oak Hall." But it's the exclusive distributor of Steo in Memphis. Of course it is. It is a world-class men's store. And right now you walk in there. I mean, maybe some of you are slipping off for getting ready for spring break. Maybe it's time to think about swimwear, spring and summer wear. Maybe you're getting ready to crank up the golf game or whatever it is, backyard barbecues or whatever it is in the summer. But it is, you walk in there, it is like it's colorized now. Brilliant, bursting with color. Same friendly folks. Not just friendly, unbelievably helpful and knowledgeable folks that have been there all along. Make this the week when you get into Oak Hall. We'll take a break. Back in a moment. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you've got something that needs framing, let's be honest, something that needs to be displayed, saved, treasured, kept for forever, the Frame Corner is the place to go. 5035 Park Avenue, right here in East Memphis. That's what they specialize in, custom framing. It's just true. If you take sports memorabilia or some collection of photographs or whatever, you can try to do it yourself. But if you really, if it's stuff that's really important to you, a moment that you really want to remember forever, something that you want to display, having something custom framed, they're superb at what they do. So you can walk on in there, put it on the counter, talk about all the options, and you'll have something that will literally be a keepsake forever. It's the Frame Corner, Frame Corner Memphis, 5035 Park Avenue. All right, Jeffrey, the Tigers won yesterday as well. And we're back to sort of, this is the dilemma. When they lose, oh no, they lost, this is a disaster. When they win, ho-hum. I mean, it's just, it is, say, through nobody's fault. Is it, I don't know, is it, I hate to haul R.C. Johnson out here to pillory or Shirley Rain. You know what it is, too, though? Even when you go back to those days when Memphis missed the boat on realignment and didn't focus on the things that Louisville focused on, right? And you want to criticize one individual or another, whether it's R.C. or Shirley Raines or whoever it is, right, that you think was, if they had wanted to, I'm not sure that the big boosters would have let them. You know what I mean? Like, the you would have had to have been an incredible visionary and incredibly both. You would have had to see the future and then be able to sell the future to everybody else in Memphis at a time when you're coming off a quarter century of basketball lifting the entire city, right? And you would have,
and Jeff, the athletic department.
And the athletic department. And you would have had to convince them that, you know what, I see the future, and this is what it looks like, and we're going to have to pour money into football and become a football power in the, and that is going to pave our future. And I don't know that anyone could have done it. Now, Tom Jurich did it at Louisville. Like, it was done at Louisville, and Louisville had had, let's be honest, even more basketball success than Memphis, right? So they had had that basketball success, but they still saw the future as football. They built their own stadium. They poured money into football, and away they go. So be that as it may, it happened. We are where we are. And so you have a game last night against Florida Atlantic. Yesterday afternoon, I mean, and you win 84-65, and that's great. And you did go up one slot in the net, and there were certainly things to talk about in that game, which we will talk about, but it is the fundamental dilemma. Here they are. They've got four regular season games left. Wednesday's Rice at home. There's one to get fired up about. And if I'm saying that, they nearly lost at Rice, right? They nearly lost at Rice. if I'm saying that, and if the fans are thinking that, I really want to care about this game. It's players are also going to be thinking that. Like, it's really hard to get up for that game against Rice, but you got four more games left. You run the table on these four. Obviously, a game at UAB in the process of that. You're 26-5, 16-2. Can you imagine, Jeffrey, at the beginning of this season, that if I had told you they were going to be 26-5, 16-2, that is a sensational, sensational season, particularly coming off the fairly tumultuous offseason that we endured. And I just think there isn't as much excitement as there should be because you got this, and this isn't a new thing to say. It's just you lamented again here on this Monday because you've got games where the only thing you did was avoid the way the game started yesterday. Oh, God. What's going to happen here? Oh, my God. They're not going to lose.
Surely they're not going to lose. Surely
this is supposed to be a bounce back, and they're not going to lose this game. Oh, my God. They're trailing. Yeah. Oh, my God. They're trailing. This is it. And they didn't.
No, the second half, you...
They just blew them out. There were two big runs there, and Dane Danger was fabulous. But you look around, and people are having fun in college basketball, right? They're having fun. They're big games. And instead, here you are. You're like, they took care of business. They did what they're supposed to do against a bad team, and they did. But it is the problem, and it is a massive problem. It is interesting. In the RPI, which used to matter, yes. Remember the RPI? John Calipari used to talk about the RPI guy because the RPI guy was out to get him, and it's why they didn't. And by the way, back then, you'd complain about two seeds, right?
Yes.
Right? You know what I mean? But because the RPI was guy was out to get him. Tigers are sixth in the RPI, which just goes to show me that these, and I'm not saying it's as, but whatever, which is a more accurate reflection of how good a basketball team is, the numbers that you put in to create that or the numbers you put in the net, and it may well be the net. It may be more accurate of how good or bad a basketball team is. But it does just go to show that what comes out just depends on what you put in.
Yeah, I also was wondering, is part of the reason why this isn't a lot of fun is, okay, if I tell you that the Tigers were going to be 22-5, they're going to be first in the league, and by the way, their non-conference strength of schedule, which we thought was going to be good coming into the season, it held up. I think part of it is everyone's sitting there going like, why are we sitting here hovering 7, 8, 9 like that seed? I think the fact that like
if you were doing exactly this and you were protecting a 4 seed,
yes.
Would you feel better about it?
I think
wrestling with a 7 seed,
right? I think people would be more excited
because then at least we're on our way to protecting a 4 seed.
And honestly, I think if I would have laid out those numbers to you, I don't know if I'd sit there and go, "Oh, they'd be protecting a 3." But I think it'd be more likely you're saying they'd be protecting a 4 or 5 seed.
So anyway, they did take care of business, and that's great. And there were other great things over the weekend, too. You had, Penny was presented the ball for his 100 commemorating his 150th win. He was named one of the 15 Naismith Coach of the Year finalists. That's pretty damn good.
Absolutely.
Like, given certainly where this team started, 15, only 15 of them. He is... one of them. You had the University of Memphis Hall of Fame, M Club Hall of Fame inductions with CDR coming back to town. Reminder of those glory days. And then he was, of course, in attendance yesterday. And so all of that was great. And then they took care of business and beat FAU 84-65. And within that game, they didn't shoot the 3 well. P.J. Haggerty did not shoot a single free throw, Jeffrey.
Yep.
How about that? But there were a couple things that I think that are worthy of notice. P.J. Haggerty did have 22 points. But there are a couple things that I thought were really positive and worthy of notice. The one is yet another game, and there's been a lot lately, where they didn't throw the ball all over the place.
Yep.
They had 10 turnovers. I'll take 10 turnovers.
And especially when you consider 10 turnovers that only led to 8 points.
Yeah. So... 17 assists, 10 turnovers, and so that was, and it's a continued positive. It, It started, you know, way back after the last Wichita State game, I think it was, is where Penny lost his mind. I think that's right. Maybe it was, and said it'll never happen again. And they've been really much better. And then the Dane Danger thing, obviously, he had a bad game, his last game, where he had, Penny pulled him. He had 4 points against in that loss, and he didn't get much in the way of minutes. And Penny basically talked about that after the game, that about why that happened against Wichita State. He said he was letting his offense dictate his defense, meaning he wasn't doing the things Penny needs him to do, which is guard, protect the rim, rebound, all of that. And so he yanked him, and Musa got those minutes.
I call that pulling a Jaren.
Now, whether he should have gone back to him, whatever, we know in the end they lost that game. But Dane Danger was terrific, absolutely terrific yesterday with 22-11, pretty much unstoppable. And I just thought, again, that was some Penny being an effective coach. And then the other thing is the FAU head coach who used to be at Baylor when Dane Danger was there, he couldn't stop talking about the work that Penny has done with Dane Danger to make him the player he should be. He was a player when he was at Baylor. He wanted to be a three. And he just went on and on about what a fine job. So there you see Penny, you know, we know top 15 coach of the year candidate, everything else this year. And there you see, and it's becoming a theme, his work with individual players to make them the best version of themselves. Like Dane Danger is a guy you could hold out and say, here's what I can do for you. Yet another guy you can hold up and say, here's what I can do for you. PJ Haggerty, as good as he was last year, better this year, right? Like
totally
this agree. This is something that we are seeing. So even within this, it's just a win. Even within that, there are things that you feel pretty good about. Now, the sad thing is, okay, so we're going to have these, you know, remaining few games. The conference tournament is fun, even though you're supposed to win it, just because the games are do or die, right? And cutting down nets is fun. If you can win the conference tournament.
I also think what's going to be helpful is it's likely it's not going to matter.
It's likely that, well, certainly by the time you get to the championship game, it will not matter if you get to the championship.
I don't think it's going
to
matter.
And it probably won't matter, period.
But I also think that's free.
Could it matter the difference between a 6, a 7, and 8 somewhere in there, a seed line?
What we've been seeing is
get knocked out early? You don't think it'll hurt them? At all?
What we've been seeing is that conference tournaments are getting treated much like, okay, we're not ignoring the entire season we played, but if you stubbed your toe and you need this to get back into it, sure, but we're not drastically changing what we have on the bracket based on these 2 or 3 days.
But the sad thing is, this season is going to come down to, like, the next really compelling games, UAB on the road will be interesting, will be NCAA tournament.
100%.
You may have won.
Yeah.
Whatever, you're in a 7-10, basically coin flip.
And, like, the thing that kind of stinks also is...
all of this work for that?
Well, it's like the nature of the Tiger basketball season is the games that are the high intense, the what we live for to watch in sports, like, they all happen so early in the calendar. By the time you get there, it's like, we haven't played one of these in 3 months.
That's the other problem. They have not played that high-level basketball against teams that are as good as they are in a long time. So, anyway... a shout out to them for getting that done.
Also,
anyway.
Starters in the second half, 43 of 47 points. That's your studs stepping up.
That's. I mean, that's again. It's more growth that we've seen. It's your stars setting a penny rolling with your starters. Your stars step up. Like it's the whole thing makes so much sense this year.
Yes,
it is such a and maybe we haven't even talked. I think. Given the way this season could have gone, because there was some thought that it could have gone completely off the rails, the level at which Penny has recovered his momentum here is really astounding.
Totally agree.
Is to be applauded. We also, by the way, we talked about Combine Week, but while on the topic of the University of Memphis, we talked about Combine Week, and there are obviously Seth Hennigan and Rock Taylor will both be at the NFL Combine in Indianapolis. I saw that Seth Hennigan is going to be on with Gabe.
4:30 today.
4:30 today. So if you want to hear from Seth, 4:30 today, we'll be talking to Gabe about the Combine. He was very good at the Senior Bowl. Tigers have had 2 years in a row, after having 9 years in a row of having a player drafted, 2 years in a row of not having a player drafted, feels like they will have players drafted this year.
Yes.
Right? You could also maybe see, you know, Mario Anderson, maybe, but unlikely. Running backs are, you know, devalued, whatever else. Seth and Rock Taylor, I'm quite persuaded that Rock Taylor will be drafted late, you know. And Seth, do you think he's going to be drafted? Feels like someone will take a flyer on him 6th, 7th round, don't you think?
I also think that with this draft of quarterbacks, where there's not going to be a lot of high end, there's going to be teams that are going to fall in love with like later round picks. And I think Seth is going to fall into that category.
We did hear over the weekend that Shedeur Sanders is not going to be throwing at the combine. I don't think that's any massive surprise. He'll throw at the pro day.
Yeah.
He'll be there. He'll be interviewed at the combine. He's not going to work out at the combine. But if you look at last year's quarterbacks, the guys taken at the top of the draft, they didn't throw at the combine either, right?
I can't remember the last time the number one, like a top five pick even threw.
Because you're throwing to, it's just the complete opposite. At a pro day, you have been working on your script for forever.
And you've been throwing to the same guys.
And you've been throwing to the same guys for forever, guys that you know. So you've been doing this day in, day out. Day in, day out, same routes, same receivers who run the same, you know, the same speed all the time to the same spot. And so you can go there. I mean, I remember I went to Paxton's. It was, you know, you, literally if three balls hit the ground, people notice, you know, like.
Yes.
And here you're throwing to completely random collection of receivers. It's not at all scripted, your script. You're doing what the, you know, they want you to do. And why would you do that if you don't have to? If you don't have to, if you're not trying to earn your, you know, reputation, if you already have your reputation, why in the world would you risk it? I hate to say it.
Then that's why we see it. It's just done, it's not done anymore.
Yeah. Okay. We got Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies. We'll talk to him coming up next. It is the Jeff Calkins Show. I will tell you that Leaders Credit Union is the place to go if you're looking for a home loan, you're looking for an auto loan, or you're just fed up with your bank. Claire, sorry, it's my anniversary, by the way. It's my one-year anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Also the anniversary of the day that Terry Pegula said about the Buffalo Sabres, from this point forward, the reason for our existence is going to win the Stanley Cup. Guess what they have not done since then?
They have not won the Stanley Cup.
Make the playoffs!
Oh, even
like,
worse.
Like, ridiculous. But anyway, so that's the unhappy anniversary. The happy anniversary is mine. I've been married now for a year, and so that's been an absolute delight. But the other day, Claire took her son Conroy into the Leaders Credit Union Bartlett location. They set him up with a checking account. And why do we go there? Because we believe in the place. Because they're incredibly helpful. They got great rates. They got great technology. And now they have a branch office in Arlington, brand new in Arlington. You can check them out online. Leaders Credit Union. Leaderscu.com/ESPN. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.